The U.S. Supreme Court opens its new term today. Or does it? NPR Legal Affairs correspondent Nina Totenberg is here to preview the upcoming term. Good morning.
Good morning, Bob.
It's the first Monday in October, and by statute, that means it's the opening day of the term. Why is this year different from any others?
Well, it's not Passover, it's Yom Kippur.
Oh, okay.
And there are two Jewish justices. And 1994 was actually the first time that the court accommodated the holiday at all. This time it comes on the first Monday. So the court is sitting formally to hand down orders, but it will not hear arguments. It will, and there, I think there will be not a quorum even of justices.
Well, it's okay because they've already worked a day. They worked on the McCain-Feingold law last month.
Aha, Bob. This gives me a chance to inculcate you in the arcana of the nation's highest court. The McCain-Feingold argument was actually, technically, a special session that occurred in the 2002 term, because the 2003 term doesn't begin till the first Monday in October. So that really wasn't part of this term, even though we'll get the opinion in this term, and I don't know whether how they'll label it.
Well, in that hallowed 2002 term, there were some huge decisions, affirmative action, gay rights, and the like. What about this term?
Well, aside from the yet-to-be-decided test of the McCain-Feingold law, there are a lot of interesting cases, but so far none that match the magnitude of the last court term. One possibility is the Pledge of Allegiance case, in which the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals invalidated the pledge for public school children because of the words "under God." A lot of people think the court would like to avoid being drawn back into the culture wars, especially in an election year. And there are at least some arguable procedural ways to avoid this case, and we'll see yet whether the court decides to dodge the bullet or take it. There's another fascinating religion case from Washington State testing whether a state can fund religious education. Washington, like 14 other states, bars the use of taxpayer money for the training of ministers. The ban is being challenged by a theology student named Joshua Davey, who claims that the ban discriminates on the basis of religion, since students with other majors are eligible for tuition supplements. And this case has a lot of interesting angles. On the one hand, does it violate the wall of separation between church and state to fund religious training? On the other, if you give out scholarships based on academic achievement and financial need, and you ban scholarships for religious training, is that an unconstitutional interference with the free exercise of religion? And lastly, what discretion does a state have deciding how it's going to spend the taxpayers' money? Does it have to fund religious activities when it funds other activities?
Every year for about the past decade, the court has ruled on questions involving federal versus states' rights. What about this term?
This term, the court has a lot more of these cases involving environmental laws, bankruptcy, and the Americans with Disabilities Act. The ADA case is, in essence, the other shoe of the law. 2 years ago, the court ruled on the first shoe, declaring that state employees could not sue their state employer for money damages under the disabilities law because the court said that states are immune to such money damage suits brought by individuals. At that time, the court said that Congress had not established a clear record of employment discrimination by the states based on disability. Now comes the test of the other section of the disabilities law, the section requiring that states make public services available to everyone without regard to disability. And that means everything from courthouses to public streets.
And the case before the court involves what set of facts?
The case is sort of the dream case for the disabilities community. It was brought by two people in wheelchairs who couldn't get into courtrooms in Tennessee. One of them, a guy named George Lane, had to crawl up two flights of stairs for his arraignment on two misdemeanor traffic charges. And when he refused to repeat the ordeal for a pretrial hearing, he was arrested and jailed for failure to appear at the hearing. The other plaintiff in the case is a certified court reporter named Beverly Jones, who was unable to enter four county courthouses where lawyers had hired her to record the proceedings. She contends that 23 Tennessee counties have courthouses inaccessible to people in wheelchairs.
The perennial question, anyone thinking of retiring from the court this year?
Thinking? I'm sure they're thinking of it, but it's always possible. And certainly three of the justices are within the age range, but I think the window of opportunity is closing, maybe is closed already. It would be very hard at this point, with the presidential election about to swing into full gear, for any replacement to be confirmed. So unless somebody gets sick or dies, I would imagine they're going to stay put until after the election.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Bob.
NPR Legal Affairs correspondent Nina Totenberg.